This morning, as we dive into the Word of the Lord, I wanted to pause for a second and talk about Christmas, because Christmas is a fun time. Andrea yesterday, and I say Andrea because it was her, decided yesterday was the day that we were going to decorate our house for Christmas. And so Oliver and I had a great time just playing while Andrea was running around doing all the Christmas decorating, and we decided not to put up our tree yet because I just didn't want to deal with Oliver crawling around under it and grabbing it. I felt like I wanted to save some ornaments this year. But there is a newer trend happening around Christmas decorations. Did you know that? That there's this new trend where people are putting their trees upside down. So if you want to take a look here, and the reason for this, they say, is that you can then put more presents underneath it. You have more room to fill up this space for presents. Or maybe it's because you have little kids. I actually don't think this is that terrible of an idea to suspend it from the ceiling in case you have little kids or a cat or a dog or whatnot. But really, the way that it's marketed is so that you can then have more space for presents underneath. And now when you look at an image like this, it's weird, right? Like, this is just something odd. Who on earth wants an upside down Christmas tree? It looks completely crazy, like something we don't even know or we can't even begin to fathom, because it's just outside of the norm. Well, this is actually what the people thought when Jesus shared that God could be our everlasting Father. And that's where we're going today. This series, we're talking about how God has a name, and God's name is Jesus. And in Jesus, we see even more revelations of names of God. And the name that we're diving into today is the Everlasting Father. And so what's interesting is with the name of Jesus, people couldn't understand this idea of the visible image of the invisible God. That was absurd to them when they heard that spoken in Colossians. And Isaiah says Jesus is the visible image of God, who was our everlasting Father. His words in Isaiah 9:6 are this. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And now I know some of you are like, wait, last week we talked about Wonderful Counselor. You're going out of order. Yes, we are. And that's okay. So Isaiah told us hundreds of years before Jesus that the one who is coming, the Son who is coming, is going to be called an Everlasting Father. And this term Father was something that was really hard for the people to understand. It wasn't common language, really, for the people to think of God as a father. They more thought of God as the father of a nation, not really this intimate, real relationship kind of piece of a father. It wasn't personal, but he was this distant being. It was unheard of having such a close relationship with God. People could handle God being mighty, but could they handle him being father? That was more than really they could handle, because they accused Jesus of blasphemy for equating God to the common earthly image of a father. When Jesus would say things like, "My Father has sent me," or when you pray, say, "Our Father who is in heaven," a lot of the religious scholars lost their mind. They couldn't fathom the idea of God being our Father. And now before we go any further, I want to pause and acknowledge something. Because we've all had different life experiences. And when we hear the word father or dad, some of us had really positive experiences. Like our dad is our best friend. But maybe for others of us, it was a little more difficult. You know, part of my life experience was dealing with my father leaving our family when I was younger. And that was a huge thing I wrestled with. Like, God, if you loved me, why would you let my dad leave me? And so for him to now be a father image, God be a father image in my life, I was questioning, God, would you then leave me? Some of us have an idea of a father figure being a broken figure. But one of the greatest things that God ever did in my life was turn that around for me. Because there were people in my church, there were specifically men in my church, who said, I want to show you what a real father figure looks like. Who came into my life and taught me what it meant to be loved by a father, as a young man. And to this day, I still reach out to them. To this day, I just had a phone call on Friday with one of them because they still love me and care for me. And so now I can understand God as a father because of men in my life who taught me that. And so sometimes we know the word can bring up feelings that aren't pleasant and often difficult to deal with. But I had to learn not to project my feelings onto God for what somebody else did to me. And so whether you had a great experience or not, something that we all need to understand is that our Heavenly Father, He always stands there with His arms wide open, ready to welcome us. And Jesus told a parable that illustrates exactly what it means for our Heavenly Father. And that's found in Luke 15. And so what's interesting about Luke 15 is actually when it starts in chapter 15, it starts by saying Jesus hangs out with sinners. Like that was common knowledge. He hung out with the tax collectors and all of those who were sinners. And the religious leaders were around him and they were like, yeah, we don't like that. Because if you're supposed to be this good guy, you should only be hanging out with good people. And so they were pretty upset about that. And so Jesus told them a story. And this is what it says in Luke 15, starting in verse 11. Jesus told them this story. That's how it starts. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now, instead of waiting until you die. So his father agreed to divide the wealth between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up all of his belongings, and he took a trip to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money on a wild living. Now, when you think of a younger sibling, I'm the youngest in my family, and this is such a younger kid move. Like, just to go and be wild and do whatever they want, like, that is the youngest child to a T, right? Maybe that's where this came from, I don't know. About the time that his money ran out, though, a great famine had swept over the land, and he began to starve. But he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed the pigs. And this young boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But nobody gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, even at home, the hired men have enough food to spare, but here I am. I'm dying of starvation. I'm going to go home to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against both you and heaven. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But would you please take me on as a hired man? And so the son returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. And he was filled with love and compassion. And he ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf that we've been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead, and he's now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So let the party begin. This is one of the greatest stories ever told in Scripture, because it has such a rich spiritual meaning. Did you notice that the son, he breaks the father's heart, but the father doesn't rule that over him? He doesn't rule over the freedom of the son to choose how he's going to live. God loves us. He loves you and he loves me with an outrageous and an unconditional love. And he says, because of my love, I give you free will. I haven't created robots. You're not programmed to do exactly what I want you to do. You and I, we get to choose to respond to God's love. And we can accept him into our life and we can follow his plan for us, or we can choose to ignore God. You can go completely the other direction. You can live a life consumed with yourself. The Father doesn't force his love on his son, and God does not force his love on you. But when we choose to live separate from God, there's consequences. Just like the son, we discover that without God, there's an emptiness. There's a search for fulfillment. And it always seems just beyond our grasp. Maybe you can relate to that part of the story. Maybe you can know what it feels like to search for that fulfillment and never find it. And maybe today we just need a reminder of the picture of Jesus as our everlasting Father. Because Jesus, our everlasting Father, he's there and he welcomes you with open arms. When we read, go back in that story, we see this in verse 20. That it says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming, and he was filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. Jesus, our everlasting Father, he welcomes us with open arms. There's love in that passage. It wasn't enough just to see his son in the distance coming home. The Father runs to you, arms wide open. Think of the image of a son. He's probably dirty. He's hungry. He looks malnourished. And he's a far way off. He's probably got his head down, embarrassed of what's going on in his life. But the father decides, I'm running to you. I know you're in trouble, and I'm coming. He's embraced. The son is embraced by this father. And he's shown the very love that he needs right there in that moment. The son probably just hopes that the dad is only going to give him a job. That's what he's asking for. God, he's asking, Father, would you just give me a job? Like, I don't even need all my inheritance. I don't need the name. I don't need any of that. I just need a job because I'm hungry and I want to be able to buy food. But instead, he finds that his father has always set a place for him at the table, that the father's left the porch light on every night. He finds a father who's been waiting for his return. And not just waiting, but he's been longing for his return. The father can't undo all that's been done, but he welcomes him home anyway with absolute, undeserved love. Jesus, he shows us that we are welcomed with open arms. No matter where we've been or what we've done, He welcomes us. He embraces you. He embraces me with a love that only Jesus can give. Even with all of our mistakes, all of our messiness that we have in our life, we're embraced and we're loved. And now what's interesting, I didn't read this part of the story, but there's a more to the story after this. We actually hear of the other son at the end of this. And the other son is there, the older brother. And what's interesting is he stayed home the whole time and he did the right thing. And when he hears what's happening with his younger brother, he's like, but what about me? I've been good the whole time. Like I didn't get any young goat even to have a party with my friends. Why does he get all of this stuff? There's a jealousy that creeps into the older brother's heart. And it causes him to miss what's happening here. And I wonder sometimes if that's the case for us. You know, maybe we're too proud to say that, God, I need your embrace. You know, I've been living my life really, really well, but God, even in this moment, I still need your embrace. I'm on track, but God, I just need to know your love. Sometimes we have this idea that I just want to toot my own horn, when in reality, we need the love of the Father the same way that those who have wandered way off does. All of us, maybe it's those of us that have been following God for a long time, or maybe it's those of us who maybe have wandered away, all of us need the embrace of a Father. Whether it's been an outwardly waywardness or an inwardly waywardness, the good news is we're all welcomed by Jesus with open arms. Jesus, the everlasting Father, he longs to bless you. In this story, in the passage, it says this in verse 21. His son said to him, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But the father, he said to his servants, he said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, and get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. See, the father blesses this wayward son when he returns. And I think sometimes when we hear that word bless, we can only think monetarily. But there are so many other ways we're blessed. The son here was blessed with forgiveness. He was blessed with love. He was blessed with an acceptance back into the fold of the family. He's honored by giving the ring of the family sign. This was the seal that was placed on his finger to make it known who he belonged to, that he's part of this family. This is who he is. He is my son. Yes, he was lost, but now he's home. We are called sons and daughters of God. And that's a blessing. We're blessed with an inheritance in heaven. We are blessed with just the very forgiveness of our sins. That's the biggest blessing we could ever receive. And we're blessed in so much more than terms of our finances, but every day in our life. I was reminded of a moment when Jesus blessed Peter. And it was in Scripture after Peter denied that he knew Jesus. If you know the story, Jesus then dies and is resurrected 3 days later. And the disciples meet with Jesus on the beach for a party. It's breakfast on the beach. And it's this cool moment where they're out fishing and they see him. And then they dive in the water and they're swimming to him. And it's this huge moment of a reunion. But then something happens between Peter and Jesus and they go for a little walk. And Jesus asked him, hey, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, yeah, you know I do. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Jesus blesses Peter by giving him the role and responsibility of caring for others, of caring for the church. You and I are blessed with the very same charge that Jesus gave to Peter. You and I are blessed with the opportunity to go every single day in our lives and make disciples like Jesus calls us to in Matthew 28. That's a blessing that we get to do life with people and we get to share Jesus with others. He chooses you and I and all of our brokenness and all of our shame and all of our sin. He says, that doesn't matter because you're forgiven. Now go and do something with it. That's a blessing. Did you know that? It's a blessing to do the work of the Lord every single day. And what's amazing is when we do that, when we finally say, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to go and make disciples every day in my life. So what's amazing is heaven celebrates that moment. In Jesus, our Heavenly Father, He celebrates us when that happens. That's the last thing that our Heavenly Father, He celebrates you. And this is what it says in Luke 15, the calf we've been fattening in the pen, go and kill it. We must celebrate with the feast. For this son of mine, they were dead, and now they've returned to life. He was lost, and now he's found. So let the party begin. This didn't have to happen. But the Father chose to celebrate the new life of the Son. And the same is true for us. There was a party in heaven when you decided to give your life to Jesus if you've made that choice. Or maybe today's the day that you're like, man, I need to know this Heavenly Father. There's going to be a party in heaven for you. And maybe we'll even celebrate here in this place. Jesus celebrates us when we were lost in our brokenness and our sin, and we come back into the freedom and the life that He has for us. God longs for all of us to come home to Him. God longs for us to be in the family. And that is something in God's eyes that He says is worth celebrating. Your life is so valuable to God that He pulls out all of the stops and He celebrates you. He celebrates the new life you found. And we get to share in that celebration on earth. We get to celebrate when others find Jesus, when they accept the love, when they accept the grace, when they accept the mercy and forgiveness, and they begin to live a life that's honoring to God. We should celebrate those moments because those moments are worth celebrating. Jesus, He's the visible image of the invisible God. He welcomes you with open arms. He longs to bless you. And He celebrates you. And so today, as we close out our time together, I want to remind you that you are so loved. That God calls you son. That God calls you daughter. And He says, whatever happened in the past, it's been forgiven by the blood of my Son, Jesus. And He says, I'm here and I'm waiting. And if you need to run to me this morning, run to me with open arms because He's there and He's waiting. In a moment, we're going to sing this song that talks about who God says we are. That we're chosen, we're forgiven. That's who God says you are. And so this morning, if you need Jesus, I think that's the song we're singing, right? I wasn't wrong? Okay. Just got to make sure on that. So this morning, if you need that reminder, listen into these words. Or maybe you're like, I am chosen. And you're ready to celebrate that. Sing it loud. Be proud of the fact that you're chosen and you're forgiven. Because that's who God says you are. Or maybe this morning, if you're like, I got stuff going on that I need to take care of. Take a moment right where you are and have a conversation with the Lord. I'm going to be up front right here, and if you want to come and pray with me, I'd love to pray with you. But I want to close out just by saying a prayer over all of us this morning. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, that you gave us this visible image of who you are in a person. And God, we can learn so much from the life of Jesus. And Lord, this morning, if life has been really difficult, if we found ourselves in a wayward pattern that we're not very proud of, God, would we feel your embrace here in this place? God, would you help us to know that we are loved and we're forgiven? And God, would you help us be bold enough to take that step to ask for your forgiveness? Lord, this morning I'm thankful that you gave us Jesus. And God, help us never forget who you say we are. That we are loved, we're chosen by you, and you, God, as our Heavenly Father, are there loving us, celebrating us, and blessing us all day long. Lord, help us to remember that as we worship you here and now in this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.